Killing of the demon Trinavarta, text number 17. Vipra Mantravido Yuktas Tar Ya Proktas Tatashizaha Ta Nishpala Bhavishanti Na Kadachit Api Sputam Vipra Mantra Vido Yuktas Tarya Proktas Tatashisaha Tanishphala Vishunti Na Kadachit Api Sputam Vipra mantra vido yuktas Tarya proktas tatashusaha Tanis phalava vishunti Na kadachit apisputam Vipra mantra vido yuktas Tarya proktas tatashusaha Tanis phalava vishunti Na kadachit apisputam Matajis. Vipra, the Brahmanas, Mantra Veda, completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns. Yukta, perfect mystic yogis. Tai, by them. Ya, whatsoever. Prokta, was spoken. Tata, becomes just so. Asisaha, all blessings. Ta, such words. Nishpala, useless, without fruit. Bhavishyantina, never will become. Kadachit, at any time. Api, indeed. Sputam, always factual. As it is. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Brahmanas, who were completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns were all yogis fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly never fruitless. Please repeat. The Brahmanas, who are completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns, were all yogis fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly never fruitless. Purport. Brahmanas, fully equipped with the brahminical qualifications, are always yogis fully powerful in mystic yoga. Their words never fail. In every transaction with other members of society, Brahmanas are certainly dependable. In this age, however, one must take into account that the Brahmanas are uncertain in their qualifications. Because there are no yogic Brahmanas, all yogis are forbidden. The only yogya recommended in this age is Sankirtan Yogya. Yajyaya Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Yogya is meant to satisfy Vishnu. Yajyartat Karmanon Yatra Lokoyam Karmabandana. Because in this age there are no qualified brahmanas, people should perform yajna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Yajnaya sankirtana praya yajanti sumedasa. Life is meant for yajna, and yajna is performed by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Om Ajnanatamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurum Militam Dina Tasmay Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krodhava Chalang Pangun Langhayate Gurin Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dina Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavani Vaisnava Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. First of all, I'd like to say that it's nice to be back in Chapati again. I get great inspiration from coming here and seeing all the wonderful devotees. In the purport here, Prabhupada says, in this age, however, one must take into account that the Brahmanas are uncertain in their qualifications. So this is Kali Yuga. Actually, it's mentioned that in Kali Yuga, demons take birth in Brahmin families. It's a very degraded age. And there was one in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Vibhishan, eventually he became disgusted with Ravana, and he decided to go to the other side, to go to the side of Ram. And he and some of his friends, they left Ravana to go to Ram, but many of the soldiers on the side of Ram, they didn't trust Vibhishan because he's a Rakshasa. So they didn't believe him. They thought he was going to come into the camp and cause some disturbance. So what convinced them that he was being truthful, Vibhishan said, if what I'm saying is not true, then may I become a king in Kali Yuga. And then they all agreed, all right, he's telling the truth. He's on the straight line. To be a leader in Kali Yuga, it's a curse. It's amazing that now we're having the presidential elections in America, and so many people are trying to become president and thinking these people must be nuts. The country is just going down so quickly, and they want to be the president. So it's Kali Yuga. So many faults. Kalar doshnid he rajan asti hekam hadguna Kirtana Deva Krishna said Mukta Sangha Paramvajat. It's an age where there's so much fault. I was distributing books one time in the airport in Miami, and I approached one man, Indian gentleman, and I was presenting the book to him. He said, "Oh yeah, I'm Brahmana." And like Prabhupada said here, he looked like a little bit of questionable character. So I asked him, "Do you eat meat?" He said, "Well, I take off my Brahman thread when I eat meat, then I put it back on." Yeah. Kali Yuga Brahman is. So, to be qualified Brahmanas in the age of Kali is very difficult. One has to get the causeless mercy of Krishna. And of course we have to perform yajna. Here it's mentioned that in this age the yajna is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This helps us become purified, free of our contamination. Iti sadasakam nama kali kanas napa nata prator paya sarvesha dishate. That if one wants to be free of the contamination of this age of Kali and counteract all the sins of this age, there is no alternative than to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. There's so much contamination in this age. Prabhupada Saraswati, he says, Kala Kalir Balina Indriya Vairi Varga Sri Bhakti Marga Yakunta Kukoti Rudha. He says, this age of Kali, in this age of Kali, the senses are very, very powerful. Very difficult to control the senses. I just heard a post on the Dandavats that in ISKCON so far we've had about 190 sannyasis, and 87 of them have given up the sannyas order. It's very difficult. But interesting that since Prahlad Nanda Swami established this strictness to be a sannyasi, only one has left the sannyas order since I think 1992. Only one has given up sannyas. Interesting. So it's very difficult to control the senses in this age. So he goes on to say that in this age, the path of bhakti is spiked. You understand the word spiked? Spiked? It means mixed. It's spiked by millions of thorny obstacles. That's Kali Yuga. The path of bhakti is spiked by millions of thorny obstacles. So this path of bhakti, it's an obstacle course. So many obstacles will be on our path that we have to cross over. But Krishna says, Machchita sarva durgani ma prasara trishasi. He says, you become conscious of me. Just become conscious of me, and you'll cross over all the obstacles on this path to pure devotional service. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you'll be lost. So it's interesting. It's so simple, but at the same time, it can be so difficult. It can be so simple. Just think of Krishna. And no problem. We'll cross over all the obstacles. As soon as we forget Krishna, then all the difficulty. Just like you're facing the sun, you're in the light. So easy to be in the light, face the sun. As soon as you turn from the sun, then you're in the shade. So we have to stay in this sun of Krishna consciousness. And then we'll make very rapid advancement. Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport, that as one engages in devotional service, one enters into the mysterious region of transcendence. Transcendental, mysterious region of transcendence. But now, because people are engrossed by the material nature, they're in the gross region of material consciousness. So this is what we're trying to come out of and enter into this sublime region of transcendence. So here, Prabhupada, he's in this verse, he's mentioned a lot about yajna, bhoktaram yajna tapasam, sarvaloka maheswaram, suradam sarvutam, jatvamam shantamishakam. That Krishna, he's the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Of course, we're part of Krishna, so we also have this tendency to enjoy. But as long as we're trying to be the enjoyers, we can't actually enjoy the tendency in conditional consciousness. As soon as we see something, we want to enjoy it. But when we become Krishna conscious, then whatever we see, we'll want to utilize that in the service of Krishna. So this is the difference. It's to forget God and be the enjoyer himself. So this is the problem. It's like it's stated, Bhoktaram, he's the enjoyer. He's also the friend of all living entities. So Krishna, he is so kind. He's always trying to help us in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. He's always encouraging us. In one purport also, Prabhupada says, Krishna is never inattentive in his trying to help the living entities in their advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not that Krishna's only listening to us when we're praying. You know, Krishna's always aware of our consciousness. Yeah. But praying is very good. That's one of the main functions when one is distributing books. One has to pray a lot. Yeah. And then one feels the reciprocation of Krishna. So Krishna, he is the best friend of all living entities. And what is a real friend? A real friend is someone who stands by your side no matter what happens. He's there for you. So Krishna, he is the epitome of that. Because no matter what we do, he's there as a super soul. Such a good friend. One can become Hitler or Stalin or whoever those people are now in Russia that are trying to stop the distribution of the Bhagavad Gita's. But Krishna is still there at their side waiting for them to turn. Such a good friend. Nothing will make Krishna turn away from any living entity. Such a good friend. But in this age, unfortunately, there's a lot of enemies. Sanaka Pandit, he says, even within one's own family, there are so many enemies. It says that the mother is an enemy if she remarries or becomes a prostitute. She's the enemy of the children. The father, he's an enemy if he dies in debt. The son is an enemy if he's a foolish rascal. And Prabhupada, he was speaking about this. And he said when he was in Allahabad, he had his business. He heard one instance where two brothers, they got in a fight. They had some argument and they got into a physical fight. And one of them killed the other. Brothers. So then the other one went to court and the judge said he should be put to death. And then the father was there. He protested, "Judge, one of my sons just died. Please, don't kill my last one." So the judge reconsidered and he said, "All right, he can live." And put him in jail for who knows how many years. So even in one's family, there's so many enemies. Just like sometimes also, devotees join the Hare Krishna movement, and parents become very upset. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said when he was creating the Gaudiya Math, he would make devotees, and then many times the parents, the mother and father, would come to take, and he would tell the devotees, take him away, take him to another center. And they would sneak out the back door, go to another center, and he would tell the devotees, put him under the bed, hide him under the bed. And he even said, if I didn't do that, then there would be no Gaudiya Math. Because so many parents were coming and trying to take their children. So he said, be aware of the tears of Maya. They'll drag you to hell. So the parents come, they're crying, I want my son. One devotee told me that he joined the Mayapur temple, and his mother came to the temple and she was banging her head on the ground. Give me back my son! Give me back! Head is hitting the ground, blood's coming out. Give me back my son! Heavy duty. Very attached. Yeah. And sometimes they take the children away. And so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, some may think that I'm callous, that I'm being cruel by not allowing the parents to take their children back. But actually it would be cruel for me to allow them to take their children back, because they want to stay here and chant Hare Krishna. So he knows what is best. The Guru knows what is best. Krishna knows what is best. So Krishna is the best friend. So we're trying to introduce the best friend of all living entities to everyone through this Sankirtan Yajna. We have the Harinam Sankirtan. We're going out with Danga and cartels. Yesterday I saw the devotees going out. They go around the community here every Sunday morning? Or, Monday morning? That's good. But then there's also the Brihat Mridanga, the big Mridanga, that one can hear long, long distance away. And now in Russia, they're trying to break the Brihat Mridanga, trying to stop book distribution. Not good. So we should pray to Lord Nrsingadev to protect the Sankirtan mission there in Russia. So we also have enemies within. There's enemies in the family, there's enemies in the country, there's enemies throughout society. We also have enemies within. Chanaka Pandit, he said there's four types of blindness. There's one where one is physically blind, where one is blinded by lust, which Krishna says is the greatest enemy, or one is blinded by greed, and one is blinded by pride. Now think about this for a moment. Which do you think is the worst blindness? Anybody say? Of the four, which is the worst blindness? Pride. Very good. Very good. I was just at another temple and I asked the same question. And no one got it. It was the last one, yeah. So yes, pride. Pride is the worst one. Why? Because if one is proud, one cannot take any good instruction. You give a fool good instruction, and what happens? He becomes angry. Doesn't take good instruction. Someone may be lusty or greedy and suffer because of that. and therefore can take good instruction. So this pride, say, this false ego, it's a major, major obstacle on our path to pure devotional service. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he said, Tanadapi Sunichena, Dororapi Sihisna, Amanina, Manidena, Kirtaniya Siddharvi. One must think oneself lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others without desiring respect for oneself. In such a state of mind, one could chant the holy name constantly. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, he said this verse should be worn around one's neck, strung by the holy name. So important. So important, but so difficult at the same time. There's a statement. Yavache yadhainyan maitya cha sayam etitan. That an intelligent person will cultivate ultimate humility. Utter humility. In his thoughts, in his actions, and in his words. So this is something that has to be cultivated. This humility. Just like we have this nice thing of we pay obeisances to others. This is very good. If there's some friction amongst the brahmacharis, then what do? Please forgive me for my offense when we pay obeisances. That helps a lot. I remember in America one time there was two devotees, they had some friction. And one of them went to the other and said, Prabhu, please forgive me for my offense. He paid obeisances. And the other one kicked him in the head. Yeah. Imagine how proud. Yeah. So this pride is horrible. It's a horrible thing. So you have to pray to Krishna to become free of this major contamination. So Bhoktaram Yagatapasanga Sarvaloka Maheshram, he is the proprietor of all the planets. He's the proprietor of everything. He owns everything. He's giving us so much. Krishna, he gives and he gives and he gives and then he forgives. We get, and we get, and we get, and we forget. This is our problem. So we should be very grateful. And if we're not grateful, then we're great fools. So be very grateful for what Krishna has given us. So many ways he's trying to help us in our advancement in spiritual life. And he comes himself. Prachanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskru. To deliver his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish religious principles. Krishna comes. He speaks the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that one could read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam thousands of times. And each time you read it, you'll get new insight in the subject matter. So this is the nature of transcendental subject matter. Words spoken by Krishna and about Krishna. Ever fresh. Yet ever fresh inspiration from hearing such words. And by hearing these words, these transcendental words, we actually can experience great happiness just by hearing these words. And this is a yajna. This is also a yajna. I was just listening yesterday to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. He said, don't just distribute the books. You have to read the books. He said, you should read the books at least 2 hours. And he said, 2 or 3 hours. This is a yajna. We're sacrificing our time to hear about Krishna. But from this hearing, we understand. We're able to understand so much about Krishna. Because Srila Prabhupada, he says, I've given you everything in my books. Everything is there. We don't need anything else. It's there. We can advance very quickly if we hear very nicely the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says another place in the purport. He says that if one hears with rapt attention these words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. And to be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if one is able to hear like this, with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page. Very beautiful. It's all dependent on attention. This word is very important. Attention. So we have to, in order to hear with this attention, with rapt attention, we have to understand how important this human form of life is. We're getting an opportunity to get out of this blazing fire of material existence by this process of devotional service. And these words are giving us guidance on how to get out. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's a fire on the third floor of a building. And there's people hanging out the window, help, help, someone help. So they call the fire brigade. And the fire truck comes. And the fireman, he has these, they're called bullhorns. So he's shouting at the people that are in this dangerous position. They're shouting up what to do. So you can imagine how attentive they are. Like elephant ears, you know. Because it's a question of life and death. If they hear nicely, attentively, what the fireman has to say, then that can save their life. So we're also in this blazing fire of material existence. And Krishna is speaking to us in the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, how to get out of this blazing fire of material existence and go to safety. So if we hear nicely the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then we can escape from this blazing fire of material existence and go to safety. And where does that safety? That safety is in the spiritual world. Samasataye padapalava plavam mahapram punya somarare bhavam budhir vatsa param 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 mirad viparam natesha. That anybody who takes shelter of Krishna can cross over this vast ocean of material existence, which is very difficult to cross over. But it becomes so easy, just like it says, just like stepping over the water in the hoofprint of a calf. It's so easy, so simple to step over. We just take shelter of Krishna, then this is how easy it is. And what is their destination? The spiritual world, the kingdom of God. Not this place where there's danger at every step. Very dangerous place. I was speaking to Maharaj yesterday. And I mentioned to him, I had one friend in the airport in Miami. And he said his wife bumped her knee on the bedpost of their bed, got a bruise there. Eventually it became cancer. And 6 months later, left her body. Just from bumping her knee on a bedpost. Danger at every step. And in America, I don't know how it is here, but in America, every year, approximately 600 people die from rolling off their bed. Because they have high beds, you know, they roll off their bed, they hit their head on something, and 600 people a year die from rolling off their bed. So not only every step, every roll, you got to be careful when you roll over. At least in America, yeah. They got these high beds, you know, bump beds and stuff. So. It's a dangerous place, this material world. So you have to be very careful. Not too long ago, some very nice devotees, they left their body in a car accident. Inattentive. One of the devotees, the driver was on a phone. And they say, in America, there was a statistic done that people who drive while talking on the phone, the amount of accidents they get in is the same as people that drive under the influence of alcohol. It's very dangerous. It's against the law, actually, to drive. Also here, it's against the law to drive talking on the phone, yes. Very dangerous. So one has to be attentive throughout one's life. You know, not only when we're driving. You know, this body is also a vehicle. It's a yantra. We're driving this vehicle. So we have to be very attentive. You know, don't be inattentive. You know. Therefore, it's said, Anukoyasya sankalpa pratikoyasya vajanam rakshishi titi visvashu gopta te. That we should accept things which are very favorable for devotional service. Yeah. This is attentive driving of our vehicle. Only do things which are favorable for our devotional service. Another interesting pastime of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is one devotee, one householder, he went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he asked him, he said, why is it that the brahmacharyas here living in the ashram, it appears like they're not making tangible advancement in Krishna consciousness. He said, why is this? He said, it's because, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, it's because they have internal worms. And the man said, oh, okay, can you explain that? He said, yeah, they have two internal worms. It's like if someone has worms in their body and they're trying to, and they're eating things, it doesn't digest properly. They don't get any energy. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said these two worms are selfishness and secret bad habits. It's interesting because this is back in the 30s or something. You know. Secret bad habits. There was no internet back then. So much room there for secret bad habits. You have the internet. The whole world is right there in front of you. You go. And so many devotees have had spiritual difficulty, because they have that maya, so much maya, unlimited maya right there in front of the screen. So you have to be very careful about this secret bad habits and selfishness. One of the characteristics of the devotees in the spiritual world and of pure devotees in general is they are selfless. The characteristic of the conditioned soul is selfish, always, you know, thinking of number one, me, instead of Krishna. So we have to try to put Krishna in the front. I think Prabhupada used to say that nice statement. He said, a devotee, when he sees a flower, thinks, oh, what a beautiful flower. Let me offer that to Krishna. But a non-devotee sees a beautiful flower. Oh, what a nice flower. Let me enjoy. So a devotee is always thinking of how to give pleasure to Krishna. There's so many ways. Srila Prabhupada, he set up this society so nicely that if we just follow the program, he actually said, if you follow the four regular principles and chant 16 rounds a day, at the end of this life, you go back to Godhead. So he set up this program so nicely. All we have to do is follow. Srila Prabhupada, he came like a transcendental bulldozer, just plowing through Kali Yuga. All we have to do is get behind him. Just stay behind him. Just follow the feet. of Srila Prabhupada. And we'll go right back to Godhead. Don't be distracted by all the things on the side. And just like the horses, they have these things, you know, so you don't get. So we also kind of have to have these transcendental things on our sides. You know. Don't get distracted by the Maya. So much distraction is here in this material world. So to be very, very careful. You see, the Prabhupada said it's when we take to Krishna consciousness, it's like we're declaring war on Maya. So in a battlefield, you have to be very careful, isn't it? The enemy, if we're not attentive, then the enemy can strike. And what's the enemy? The enemy is Maya. She's there, putting so many tests before us. And if we're not strong, if we're not prepared, warriors in this battle against the illusory energy, then Maya will take us down, as we've seen. So maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for very nice, inspiring class. Can you tell us about yourself, how did you come to the Krishna consciousness and how did you start distributing books and how your service developed? It will be very inspiring to hear.
It's a long story. You want to hear it? I grew up in Southern California, USA. Lots of Maya there. Lots of distraction. So at one point, somehow, by Krishna's mercy, I was at a friend's house. This was my first contact, and he had found a Srimad Bhagavatam, one of Prabhupada's Bhagavatams, and he brought it home. He liked the pictures. So I saw that I was opening up the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was a little bit of an impersonalist. I saw the picture of Prabhupada, and I saw him with a watch. And I thought, oh, he's a materialist. A little deranged consciousness there. So then, in that same house, sometime later, there was one yogi on the television speaking about spiritual subject matters. And I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. So he had a center there in Los Angeles. So I found out the address, and I went to the center they had. And they have a program where for 3 days, they have lectures about their beliefs. And then after 3 days, if you want, you can buy a mantra. So I was kind of getting into spiritual life. All right, let me try the mantra. So I paid for the mantra. $120 for a two-syllable mantra. Ainga. 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 $60 each, you know, expensive mantras. But now, with inflation, $1,000 it costs now for the mantra. Such cheating. Prabhupada said there's so much cheating. Imagine how much money Prabhupada would have made if he was selling the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. He would have become very wealthy. So I had this mantra. I'm supposed to chant it 15 minutes morning, 15 minutes evening. Ainga, 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 ainga. But you chant it silently. If you chant it out loud, you lose the potency. I just chanted it out loud, so I just lost the potency. You're supposed to chant it silently, and then hopefully you're supposed to be, you know, some big person eventually. I don't know what the goal was. Anyway, so I was chanting. And after a while, I decided to leave Los Angeles and search for a paradise where I can just chant my mantra and read spiritual things and just get into spiritual life. Just leave my material life behind. So before I left, I got this book by this person. He was an American guru, Baba Ramdas, very famous American guru at the time. Be Here Now, very famous book. So I took that with me and I was reading it. And while I was reading, I was traveling across America. And while I was reading it, he said, as one advances in spiritual life, one becomes detached from friends, from family, from material things in general. And I just thought, all right, that sounds good, makes sense. So I wrote a letter to my mother. I said, Mom, I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. You've been a great help, but you know, I probably won't see you again. Because I really felt like I was going on this journey where I wasn't going to return to material life anymore. I very strongly felt that. So I'm traveling, and then all my things were stolen. My bags were stolen. So I thought, all right, the process is working. This is good. So I still had some money. So then I took a plane to the Bahamas. Bahamas are some islands in the off the coast of the southeast of America. Some of you may have heard of the Bahamas, famous island. So I flew there. And I was very disappointed. It was very materialistic, horribly materialistic. So I decided that I'll fly back to Miami the next day. But while I was in the Bahamas, someone stole my money. So I said, wow, this process is really working. Now I have no money, no bags, nothing. Somehow I still had the book. They left the book when they stole my bag. So I had my passport still. I had this book, no money. And I still had my ticket. Somehow the ticket was still there. Krishna's mercy. So I flew back to Miami. Actually, when I was in the Bahamas at this time, when I found my money was gone, my things were gone, I had never felt so happy in my life up to that point. Because I knew, again, beyond a shadow of a doubt, something serious is happening here. Something really serious is happening here. So I felt very, very good. I was anticipating what wonderful thing is going to happen next. Because now everything's gone. Nothing else can be taken away. What's the next thing? So I flew back to Miami and I started hitchhiking. Hitchhiking means you stick your thumb out next to the road and you try to get a ride. But I didn't know where I was going. So some man picked me up and he said, so where are you going? I said, that's a good question. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on this path of spiritual life and I'm in God's hands now. So he suggested, why don't you go to Key West and get a job there? You'll need money. So I thought, all right. I took that as Krishna's direction, although I didn't know who Krishna was. So I went to Key West. I got a job. And now I'm still reading this book. And at the end of the book, he has recommended readings. And one of them was Bhagavad Gita. Many books were there. But when I read this Bhagavad Gita, wow, that sounds mystical. Sounds very interesting. So I went to the public library in Key West. There was 4 Bhagavad Gitas, different translations. Now what? But due to the good management of the BPT, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita looked most attractive. So I pulled it out. It was actually not the one we have now. It was the abridged version. We used to have an abridged version before we have the unabridged, the big one now. It was about this big. Some of the purports weren't there. It was Macmillan's. So I took that out. There was no Sanskrit. Maybe half the purports weren't there. So I took it home. And I was reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And as I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita, I'm thinking, all right, this is it. This is where my path has led to. This is the end. This is the goal right here, Bhagavad Gita. I found the end of the journey. So I was very happy. I read the Bhagavad Gita in like 3 days. I couldn't put it down. I was just like, whew. This is intense. This is amazing. This knowledge. This is amazing. So I was very happy. Very happy reading the Bhagavad Gita. very satisfied. So while reading the Bhagavad Gita, I found the Hare Krishna mantra. And I was thinking, okay, here's a real mantra. So I just started chanting Hare Krishna all day. I gave up the old mantra, and I was just chanting Hare Krishna. So I had this job where there was no one around, so I was just chanting Hare Krishna all day long. And Krishna was giving me some special mercy because I was really feeling some bliss from chanting Hare Krishna. So after 3 days of chanting like this in my workplace, I went out of my workplace, and 100 meters from the door of my workplace, devotees were having Harinam. Two devotees, they were chanting Hare Krishna. So I was like, wow, look at that. These guys are chanting Hare Krishna. They're chanting my mantra. So I went over to them and said, hey, you're chanting my mantra. Where'd you learn this mantra? So they said, you chant Hare Krishna? I said, yeah, I chant Hare Krishna all day long. I work right there. I've been chanting all day long for 3 days. They're like, wow, that's great. So they preached to me for a couple hours. And that night I moved into the ashram there. So Krishna took me very quickly. So in that ashram, I found a Nectar of Instruction. Very nice book. So in this book, Prabhupada mentions how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, if one does not chant 64 rounds a day, one is considered to be a fallen soul. So I was thinking, God, I don't want to be a fallen soul anymore. So I started chanting 64 rounds a day. It was very nice, yeah. But I was still working also. So I couldn't continue. So I was down. I was chanting 32 rounds every day. 32 rounds. Krishna was giving me some special mercy. So this place in Key West, it wasn't really a preaching center. It was just a couple of devotees that were trying to keep something together. It wasn't an official preaching center. There were some devotees that had left ISKCON and they were trying to keep something together. They're doing a little preaching. So they suggested you should go to Miami. In Miami, they have a whole bhakti program. You could actually get trained up into Krishna consciousness. So I said, okay. So I went to Miami. And Miami temple was about 8 acres. You go by acres here also? Okay, 8 acres. Good piece of property. And there was about 90 mango trees. And these mangoes were good. We had mango ice cream, mango pie, mango cake, mango coming out our ears. You know? And there was banana trees and all kinds of tropical trees. It was a tropical paradise. Remember I left Los Angeles? I was looking for paradise. Krishna fulfilled my desire. That was the most paradise temple I think I've ever been to. This one that you have here is getting pretty... turning into paradise very quickly. It's nice property here. So it was very, very nice temple, Miami. So my first service, we also had acres and acres of flowers. So we used to supply flowers to all the temples in America. We would send them to the temples. So my first service was plucking flowers. And then the temple president, he asked me, Vijay, actually I was Bhakta Vern at that time. He said, are you bold? I said, well, yeah, I can be a little bold. He said, all right, tomorrow you go on book distribution. So that was when my book distribution career began. That was 1978. And my first service in book distribution, we used to go to the streetlights and sell books at the streetlights. Very difficult. Very difficult. It was so difficult that I thought, man, I got to do something to help me through this period. So I went back to the temple and I was thinking maybe the Bhagavad Gita can help me because I was really attached to the Bhagavad Gita. So I was reading the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna says in one verse that one who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. So I thought, yes, this is it. I got to be tolerant. So Bhagavad Gita helped me there in that difficult period. So then I started doing better. And then they suggested, maybe you should go to the airport. So then I went to the airport, distributed books in the airport for maybe 16 years. And for the past, I don't know, 18 years now, I've been distributing books at universities. Very nice. University book distribution is very, very nice. So that's how I came to Krishna consciousness and started distributing books. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.